Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I'm your host, Amy Ravel. And today we are, maybe 5 or 6 weeks into our 101 series. The idea of this series is to give you each main area in your home, give you a decluttering checklist and a organizing hack sheet of like, here's all the things you can do. Here's some ideas that you may not have thought of. I'm hearing lots of really positive feedback on people being able to actually go, oh, that was really specific, Amy. Thank you. I'm able to go and implement that in my kitchen, in my wardrobe, in, you know, all the spaces that we've gone through. I'm excited because we've got toys coming up. We've got study coming up. We've got garage coming up. And so, I think those spaces are going to be really helpful. I don't want to just chat too long before we get into this because the living room has a really important heart-mind factor in your whole home being organized. Because as much as the kitchen is the heart of the home, it's like the living room is like the pulse. That's where you can kind of see where everyone's at. Is the living room completely chaotic? Is it really beautifully organized? Is it a space of sanctuary and rest? Or is it a space that you can see that everybody's trying to do everything in that space? So when I'm talking about living room, I'm talking about like a lounge room, a den, a space that you're kind of, it's a communal space that maybe has couches, it might have a TV, it might have some bookshelves, it might have some musical instruments, it might have your gaming things. So it's a communal space that lots of people are using and it's meant for socializing and relaxing and being together, okay? So if you're in different countries, you're going to call it different things. And in some homes, you're going to have 3 or 4 living spaces. Or if you've got a house like mine, you've got 1 living space. And so whatever that is, it's usually somewhere close to your kitchen. Or maybe you've got like a winter room if you're in the northern hemisphere. I just forgot my north and south for a second. There's lots and lots of different options of what the living room or the lounge room or the den, the family room, what all of those look like. But as I go through and talk through it, I'm hoping that you'll kind of identify that space in your home. As I said, it's like that pulse. It's like going, oh, okay, everyone's in overwhelm. And I can tell that because there's a week's worth of clean, unfolded washing in washing baskets piled up on the couches. I've been to clients' houses and there's like the kids' bedding is all over the couches because the kids have slept on the couch or the kids have pulled it out to make cubbies. Nobody has the capacity to pack things up. And often what you see in the living room is all of the things that people are using and that are functional and that they're enjoying, but they don't have their own home. So it's a little bit different to the bedroom. You know how I talked about in a bedroom, you often will hide the things that you don't want other people to see. You know, it's the box of papers that you just don't know what to do with. The living room's a little bit different. Usually the things in a living room are actually on high rotation. People are using them. People are going back to them. The kids are enjoying it. However, because nothing has a home And because often you have too many things going on in that space, it can make it really chaotic. And then, you know, it's almost like the house has a racing heartbeat because there's no rest, there's no sanctuary, there's no place just to sit and relax, scroll on your phone, play a board game, connect with a family member, and all of those things. So one of the tips I want to give you to start off with is identify the purpose of the space that you're thinking about when we talk about living room. What is the purpose of it? Our living room is all open plan. So we've got dining, kitchen, and living all in one. And we've kind of split our living space at the moment. We change configurations depending on seasons of life and what we're doing and who we're hosting and all those types of things. What we've done is split into kind of two different zones within the same space. One is just kind of the TV area. So it's literally got a TV and a couch, a three-seater couch with a chaise. And then backing onto that, we've got like quite a few armchairs and a couch and a place where more people can meet. So we often host groups here through our church. And so we might have like a Bible study here. We might have like a family over. And so you're kind of just sitting around and talking. It's much more communal. It's not facing the TV. It's facing each other. Whereas the TV side of it is literally facing the TV, and that's the purpose of it. So identify that. This space is for connection. This space is for gaming. This space is for the exercise machine. And so when you decide what the different zones and areas are for, then you can be intentional about how you keep it that way. One of the really big things that most living rooms, most living spaces have is too much furniture. And what that does is as soon as you add in side tables and a coffee table and a bookshelf and a console, you're making the space cluttered just by the nature of the furniture in it. And so then because there are all these flat surfaces, they are attracting clutter. They're attracting magazines and kids' toys and coffee cups and books and paperwork. Like there's so much stuff that just kind of ends up in these spaces because the furniture naturally attracts it. I want to kind of put out a broad challenge. Do you really need a bookshelf in your living room? Do you really need it? Are there books on there that you cannot possibly let go of and you cannot possibly store elsewhere? We, you know, like in my married life, we always had bookshelves in our living spaces until we realized that they just made everything look cluttered. And then the space between where the spine of the book finished and the shelf of the bookshelf started was like this space where dust gathered, and then it would always end up with like guitar picks, a random Allen key, a photo that we're trying to display, a card from someone, and it just became really, really cluttered. And so as soon as we got rid of those bookshelves and we really significantly downsized our book collection, I've talked about it before, we got rid of 700 books and we've since continued to cull and declutter. We don't need bookshelves in our living spaces, which means that we no longer have this just dust attracting, clutter attracting space. So maybe you might be able to get rid of a bookshelf or a storage unit that you find that you're actually just putting stuff on top. You've got photo frames for the point of just putting them on top of the console rather than the fact that you've got amazing photos that you want to share. And so ornaments and trinkets and photo albums and all of those things and frames, and they can really create a cluttered living space if it's not intentional. So if the purpose is to have a space that's welcoming and you do want some photos of your family, where do they belong? How are you going to keep them? Can they be contained to just on top of one surface? And then if you've got these different categories and different purposes for the space, what comes with that? For instance, so where we've got our TV and the couch that faces the TV, the kids have a gaming console. And so what realistically could happen, and I see this in clients' houses all the time, is that the console lives next to the TV, all the cords, all the controllers, all of the different cassettes that go into the console, all the bits and pieces just live wherever somebody dropped them down. And so, yes, they're using it maybe every couple of days, but does it all need to be out visually? Because that just makes it cluttered. That makes it look cluttered and it makes it harder to keep things tidy. So what we've done, for instance, is underneath where the TV sits, we've just got a little storage thing. There's a drawer in there and everything gaming goes in there, including the console. So they don't use it every day, and so the console gets packed up. I was with a client this week and all of the bits and pieces for the console go in a drawer because we've set that up together. But the console itself sits up next to the TV. And almost every single time that I'm there, there is a controller that's been left out or there's some kind of component that should have been put back in the drawer and isn't. So sometimes by creating this rule of like everything goes in the drawer, it actually just makes it simpler because you don't have to make decisions about how much to pack away. It's just like everything goes away and next time we want it, we're going to set it up. So you want to, you know, think about, well, is there a cord that still gets plugged into the power at the back so I don't have to pull something out? But where do I hide that? How do I make it really simple? Maybe there are other categories in your living spaces and you just need to create homes for them. You know, these items that you're constantly tidying up, how do you make it easier? Is there always electronics, chargers, cables, iPads, screens, phones, computers? Are there always just seems to be cables and electronics everywhere in your living space? Again, could you put it in a drawer? Is there a way that you can create a charging station? And so you're being really intentional and you're creating a solution for that category so that it's hidden away and you're not constantly having to look at these things. Because remember, clutter attracts clutter. And so if you've got a whole lot of charging cables out and you're like, well, I need to charge the devices, which is true. But by mere fact that you've got four chargers out and four devices, you are naturally going to put other things in that space as well. How do you create a home for a category that you seem to always be having to tidy up? It might be exercise equipment. And you're like, yeah, but I work out in front of the TV to a YouTube something or other every morning. Okay, great. Is there a way that you can put the items that you need into a drawer, into a container, into a cupboard, into some kind of storage so it's out of the way? You pull it out, you use it, you pack it up completely. Because your living room is a space that you want to relax and just chill and be with people and connect. And if you've got all of the different activities out, that is going to make it more stressful. Even things, so one of the things that we've decided to do is we have a couple of throw rugs. And really, they don't get used a lot because, you know, most people in our house run hot. So it's usually just for guests. And so we actually keep them in a basket in a storage shelving, like, you know, the Kallax cube storage from IKEA. One of the ones in there has throw rugs. And so for me, I found that I was constantly having to like either fold the throw rugs and put them nicely over the back of a couch, or I was picking them up off the floor. And once I created a home for them, it meant that it totally removed the stress of that. If someone needs it, I know where to go. And when they're finished, I know where to put it away. It might be that you're finding the school bags always end up in the living space. And so maybe some hooks in the garage or at the front door or somewhere so that they can hang their bags up. Again, what we're doing is creating that home and removing the just that natural clutter of items that are homeless. They're just kind of dropped, put down, forgotten about, and all of that. These categories and finding homes for them is actually going to make a huge difference for your living room. And then what I want you to think about is, how do I reduce the quantity of categories and quantity of items? So maybe you do have some, maybe you've got some tools that you keep in your living space because you feel like you're always having to find a screwdriver to open up and put batteries in a kid's toy. Maybe actually that category belongs elsewhere and the only reason you've kept it in the living room is because you could just never find it when it was in the laundry or in the shed or in the garage. So sometimes the organization then allows you the freedom to put things where they belong and not just where you're going to be able to grab them easily, because you'll be able to grab them easily when they're in a home and when you know where they are. And then one of the things I love, and I talk about this a lot because it is that significant moment in decluttering, and that is when you've decluttered all the items and you can start decluttering furniture. And in a living room, this is really, really key. One of the things we got rid of really early when we started having kids was we got rid of a coffee table because it just attracted clutter. And to be honest, I've got boys and all they wanted to do was wrestle and it was taking up wrestle room. And also I was worried that someone was going to like cut their eye open on it. We got rid of that coffee table and we thought, you know, when the kids are older, we'll get a coffee table back. Nah, I'm never getting a coffee table back. I love not having a coffee table. It's just, there's just not stuff that sits on it. There's not things that go under it. And I don't need it. And maybe it's side tables for you, or maybe it's a TV console. You don't need it. You can mount your TV on the wall and you don't need anything else. Think about what furniture you can get rid of. Do you have excess armchairs? And realistically, you do not need them. And a couple of times a year when you're like, actually, it would have been great to have something, an extra seat or something, you can pull out a beanbag, you can pull out a dining chair. There are so many other options than we need to have enough lovely couches for the most number of people we'll ever have in our home in a year, and we need to have that available all the time. You don't need to have that available all the time. Reduce the quantity of the items in your home. One of the things I recently got rid of was footstools. So we had quite a few footstools because, you know, it's nice when you're curling up by the fire and you're reading a book, you put your feet up. But then I found that I was just shuffling them around the space all the time. And so I got rid of one and I was like, okay, this feels better. And I've got my eye on a second one. I'm trying to decide whether it's going to make its way into a study. But otherwise, that's going to go because it's a piece of furniture that is unnecessary and is not adding a lot of value very regularly. Yes, the times that we like desperately want it, it's great. But I could use 100 other things to put my feet up on and it doesn't need to live there all the time. Think about when you look at a living room or a lounge room in an Airbnb, in a hotel, at a friend's house that's super organized, you're going to notice there's not a lot of stuff in there. And actually just having some things set out nicely to facilitate conversation is what makes a living room enjoyable. So less furniture, less stuff, and homes for items is going to make keeping your living space organized so much easier. And keeping a minimal living space organized is so much easier than keeping a maximalist living space organized. If you find that baskets of washing are forever sitting on your couches, then stop putting the baskets of washing anywhere other than in the laundry room, in the room that they belong. Just don't allow yourself to bring them out. Short circuit the things that are making your living room more disorganized. There's also the living room decluttering checklist that you can go through. A lot of furniture items on there for you to consider. How many floor lamps do you need? Do you need side lamps and coffee tables? And do you have too many indoor plants? Do you have an extra TV than you need? Do you have gaming consoles that no one's using? Do you have remotes that you're not even sure what they belong to? All of those things can be decluttered so your living room can be reclaimed and enjoyed again. I hope this has been helpful. I feel like I'm talking really fast, but the living room, as I said before, is that heartbeat of your home. And so what I actually want to do is kind of slow down. So slow down, be intentional, enjoy that space. And I hope that you come jump in, grab those downloadables. There's some videos and a few extra special downloadables this week. So jump onto the show notes. You'll be able to find exactly what you're looking for. Come and join. And until next week, enjoy the freedom. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional custodians of the land this podcast is recorded on. I would also like to pay respects to their elders, both past and present, of the Kulin Nation, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love you to rate and review the show on your podcast app. That will help others to find the Art of Decluttering podcast as well. If you'd like any more information, you can visit theartofdecluttering.com.au. And I would love to see you in my Facebook group. Just search the Art of Decluttering community on Facebook and join today. I hope that you have an incredible rest of your day and enjoy the freedom.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.